You are listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. Join him as he and his guests discover how businesses thrive in California.
On the 405, this morning we've got some very interesting conversations ahead of us. Boris Piskin is the founder of GreenPace Financial, and he's got some very interesting ideas and structures that he has put together, he and his partners, to help wealthy individuals with taxes and to help the country convert to solar. So welcome, Boris.
Thank you very much.
So tell us a little bit about GreenPace.
So GreenPace Capital, the evolution of the company, started in the, and continues to be in the solar space. But as kind of the evolution of solar continues throughout the U.S. and more and more individuals and companies convert to the renewable energy, there are different ways to be able to finance transactions throughout the U.S. We found a unique niche in the market in that, you know, one of the key metrics of why solar has really kind of exploded in the U.S. is really with the government assistance through tax programs and so forth. So one of the unique niches that we kind of, you know, actually stumbled across about a year and a half ago is the benefit that wouldn't exist to nonprofits, and being able to offer that benefit to them by monetizing those tax assets that otherwise they wouldn't be able to take advantage of.
To monetize tax assets.
So in other words, in layman terms, the government provides tax credits to customers who convert to solar. But by default, if you're a nonprofit, you do not benefit from those tax credits because of the fact that you don't pay taxes. So our program pays for those tax credits on their behalf, therefore lowering the payment for them on their solar conversion. And, you know, especially in California where the utility rates are fairly high, some of the highest in the country, it's a no-brainer for most entity or either commercial or residential properties to convert at this point. It's one of those situations where, you know, converting to solar from their standard utility company, whether it's SCE, PG&E, yields benefits and yields savings from day one. So we have provided a program to let nonprofit companies, houses of worship, different medical communities and so forth, and local municipalities and so forth, be able to benefit from that solar conversion and taking that, those tax benefits and being able to, for all intents and purposes, sell them to lower their payments. So that's what we come in. We provide, obviously we have a pretty vibrant residential finance program as well. But we, over the last year and a half, started seeing a demand or lack of opportunity for the nonprofit sector, and really kind of started focusing our attention on that space.
So are you converting a nonprofit physical asset into solar from regular electrical?
So essentially what we offer them is to convert their electricity, where they get their electricity from their local utility company, to solar. Mm-hmm. So essentially, a solar system is built on their roof or on a carport in their property that generates solar power, and that solar power is generated at a much lower cost than they would be purchasing it from their local utility company.
So how would a church go about using this?
So we would design a system on their behalf. One of our installation partners would install it. They would borrow funds on a long-term basis to essentially prepay the power up front. And the monies that they'd be paying for on that borrowing would be significantly lower than the utility bill. Now, because the generation of power, they will no longer have a utility bill or have a much significantly lower one. So they're essentially replacing their utility payment with a smaller debt service payment, if you will.
Okay, and would they be borrowing the money from you?
They would. We partner up with a government program called PACE, Property Assessed Clean Energy. It was created by the Department of Energy on a national program, and it's administered on a local level.
Mm-hmm.
State of California has a very, very vibrant PACE program. And it's one of the programs that allows entities like nonprofits the ability to borrow funds at a very attractive rate.
All right. And so why would an institution not want to do this?
Fear of the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things we oftentimes encounter, both on the residential or commercial side, is the magic of solar. You know, it's the too good to be true concept. And so a lot of the time we spend is really educating, you know, the consumer, educating the potential recipient of the benefits of solar. Obviously, we understand from a, you know, global warming, climate change standpoint, and renewable energies wanted to convert from, you know, our fossil fuel to renewable. But that's, to some degree, a lot of that's theoretical. When we come down to kind of the localized basis, how does one get from point A to point B?
Mm-hmm.
That's when, you know, the rubber meets the road oftentimes. And, you know, being, you know, in California, obviously we have the utility rates are higher than other parts of the country. It's one of the few places where it's a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very seldom can we not provide benefit to our recipient by converting to solar.
Well, now, let me be the questioner for a moment.
Sure.
Is the system guaranteed?
Absolutely. So there are a number of layers of guarantee, whether it's the workmanship, the hardware guarantees. There are a number of embedded guarantees that, you know, because at the end of the day, whatever is the system is supposed to produce should produce.
Mm-hmm.
So there are, between guarantees, warranties, insurances, there are multiple layers of guaranteed production.
I mean, a question that I think someone would ask is, if I'm taking out a loan, how long is the loan going to be?
Well, it can be anywhere, you know, there it can be as little as 10 years to as high as 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of our nonprofits actually have, you know, pay for it by cash.
Mm-hmm.
And they pay at a discount, obviously, so they get the discount immediately, and then they have no payments
mm-hmm.
for their utility costs, which is obviously a very large line item, expense item for any company or mm-hmm. any individual for that matter. So whether it's going to be a loan type, situation for the less financially sound customers, or for those who have, you know, significant cash and want to put that quote unquote cash to work, it's a good way to be able to show an immediate return on that cash.
All right. So why would what's the advantage to a nonprofit to come to you rather than to go to a mainstream, anybody else installing solar?
We kind of are the mainstream.
Okay.
There are only the truth is there are only very few companies out there that provide the product that we provide. And the product that we essentially provide is the ability not only to convert to solar, which obviously is readily available in the marketplace,
right,
but to then convert the tax benefits to immediate cash.
All right. Now, does that cash go back to the
nonprofit?
To the nonprofit?
Correct. It's immediate.
Oh, I see. So you're selling that and then you're providing that back. How do you get paid?
Well, we are able to then take those tax benefits and find high income earning individuals,
right,
who obviously plenty in California,
yes,
and provide them the ability to offset their tax liability, which is also quite high in California.
Uh-huh.
And we are able to then take the tax benefits that the nonprofit cannot use and find partners, mostly individuals within the state of California, that can use those tax benefits.
All right, and so they will buy them from you.
Correct.
And you will provide a portion of that, put a portion of that back to the nonprofit.
Correct.
And so you make your money on some sort of portion of that.
Correct.
Sale.
It's just a spread between the mm-hmm. two.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So the nonprofit really gains in two ways: a reduction of their utility bill.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And they also get money back.
Reduction of utility bill, money back. And I think even the bigger global picture is they're doing what we should all be doing for the environment.
All right.
There's actually an organization, a U.S.-based organization out in San Francisco, Interfaith Light and Power. Their primary objective is to introduce alternative and renewable energy to houses of worship throughout the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all have a duty for our children, our grandchildren, and frankly, as how, you know, based on scientific data that's coming out, probably in our lifetimes, that we need to act. We need to act now. And we have, you know, there is a certain level, you know, kind of mission based for us.
So there's three pieces to it.
Correct.
One is reducing the utility bill.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, getting some money back.
Correct.
And then number three, participating in the greening of America.
Reducing our carbon footprint.
Right. All right, so here's a question for you. I live in a six-unit condominium in Laguna Beach. And every time that I have looked into putting solar on the roof of our buildings, it doesn't pay for us. Our utility bill is about $50 a month.
Your utility bill from a standpoint of each unit utility,
right.
Utility bill?
Right, right.
Laguna Beach is a unique uh-huh. city. It's atypical than what we see the rest of the... I, like you, am a resident of Laguna as well.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And I wish my utility bills were $50 a month.
Yeah, yeah. Before I came to the studio today, I was sitting on the phone talking to somebody to come out and talk about some new sliding glass doors
uh-huh.
because our units were built in 1968.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have the original sliding glass doors in our unit.
Yeah.
And so it's time to replace them. But normally, they are wide open.
Yes.
We see the ocean.
Yes.
And so we rarely have any any air conditioning.
Correct.
So it just didn't pay. So what would, when a nonprofit begins to think about solar, what do they need to be thinking about? What does their utility bill have to be for it to make sense?
Well, we typically say that anyone who has, and this is residential or commercial, anyone with over $100 utility bill
mm-hmm.
can see savings.
Okay.
Oftentimes, you know, even driving 5 minutes outside of Laguna where the temperature immediately increases by 10, 15 degrees,
mm-hmm.
more people are using, whether it's air conditioning, any sort of electricity, to power their homes.
So, all right. So let's begin dreaming, right?
I love to dream. Let's
all
do
right.
that.
Fellow visionaries here. And we both have integrators someplace who makes things happen, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm sure some of them are listening to this right now.
So let's suppose we have 140 buildings
mm-hmm.
around Los Angeles, Orange County, Riverside, and Ventura counties. Have 140, and we have a leadership group who not manages, but would need to be convinced.
Mm-hmm.
What would we do with them? How would we go about talking with them in a way that would be helpful?
I will give you a real-life example, a little bit of a larger one. We are currently working with a church group that represents, has about 1,800 churches throughout the country.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a little less than, you know, a third of those in California. And it's one of the impediments that we've seen since we've started, you know, since this marketplace demand has come to us, really,
mm-hmm.
is the need to act problem, meaning that we all recognize that there's a problem, we have a solution for that problem, and now going through a certain layer of, lack of a better term, bureaucracy,
sure,
to get it done.
Absolutely. That's what I'm talking about.
You know, there are multiple layers of board approvals,
mm-hmm.
We tend to see boards meet once a month. If that representative in the board wasn't there that day, then we have to wait till the next month and so forth. So, you know, we see oftentimes opportunities where everyone in the room agrees that this is the way to act. Action takes a little bit longer. We take 3 to 3 months, 6 months. And it's one of those things where, you know, time is money, meaning that from a number of different ways. Number one is obviously as we're kind of paralysis by analysis and not making a decision, that costs, because we're still that representative, you know, that customer is still paying the higher utility bills. And those utility bills sometimes are 60-70% higher than they should, than they can be. So it's convincing the right people at the right levels, meaning that if you're looking at your, you know, going back to our example, first it's making sure that the higher management board sees the value proposition on the macro scale. And then identifying, you know, individual properties that, you know, can see that the biggest, most, you know, benefit, the most benefit right away. But it's really starting from the top and coming down. Because I think to some degree, even though I'm sure that, you know, the mandate can be made on a higher level, it can be, it can't necessarily be forced up, you know, upon kind of the individual assets. But I think once there's a collective mindset that everyone agrees to, and the value proposition is agreed to, it makes for an easier conversation, because it's not necessarily convincing someone, especially from a third party outside perspective. But once you've got the approval from the inside, you know, higher level board members, I think it makes it a lot easier of a convincing perspective.
We're
seeing it from a larger approach.
If we were to dream about going to, the word might be imprimatur, you know, giving the green light. This is an okay
no
thing.
No pun intended.
All right? This is an okay thing to do.
Yeah.
What kind of presentation can you make to that group?
It's a combination of two. I mean, we're prepared for these types of presentations. You know, both from a moral perspective, financial perspective. It's made easier for us by our, you know, quote unquote competitors, who are the utility companies. We unfortunately have seen, you know, tragedy occur last year at the PG&E territories, and we think that's going to continue as the utility companies are, you know, are become more and more antiquated. More and more monies need to be invested for infrastructure work. The concept of solar and the concept of solar providing power and providing access and, you know, taking a lot of the pressure off the grid is going to become more and more prevalent. So our hands are going to be, you know, to some degree, the decisions are going to be made for us. You know, as, and especially in today's day and age where the economics are so obvious, to convert to solar and be able to generate power and store it for oneself and actually become your own microgrid to some degree. So it's actually a fairly easy value proposition to be able to communicate.
All right, so let's suppose that we have this group of 180 institutions that all have buildings. What kind of timeline is that from, let's suppose you have the agreements to move forward. What kind of construction timelines are there?
Well, whether it's 180 or one, it comes back to assuming that the lengthiest of times being the decision making process. Assuming we take that off the table, and I know, as you mentioned before, we're the visionaries. Where, you know, we look at the big picture, and those who execute are, you know, they'll be hearing from us. But, you know, the process is very formulaic. You know, First, the design is generated to maximize the efficiency.
And you're not doing the design, are you?
Well, we...
You have companies that do
We this. Have companies that do the design. We have
so
our own...
you have multiple companies.
We have multiple companies. We want to make sure, especially because we're providing a lot of the guarantees, if you will, that, mm-hmm. that the design adheres to certain guidelines that right. we're looking for. And the good thing in California, there are specific guidelines already embedded within the statutes to make sure that they are kind of adhering to mm-hmm. it. But we, being able to design it pursuant to each individual location, what their utility bills are, what their rates are, when their usage is, meaning do they have, is it a 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. constant mm-hmm. usage, or is it, does the usage spike within at certain days? I'm sure during, days of worship, there's more usage than other days and so forth. So taking that into consideration allows, taking that and making the design uniquely specific to each location sounds more work than it really is, because mm-hmm. obviously there's a formulaic process for that. Mm-hmm. Being able to, the big things that we have to do is the jurisdiction. How quickly does it take to pull a permit within any mm-hmm. jurisdiction? Mm-hmm. How quickly then can we have the utility company come down and approve the approve the actual installation? So mm-hmm. we are subjected based on kind of, you can't fight City Hall to some degree. Mm-hmm. So we're subjected to how quickly the utility companies and local jurisdictions, but our part of it doesn't take any more than 30 days, mm-hmm. meaning collectively with the mm-hmm. installation companies, with the solar companies. So
To install.
Oh, okay. Getting the installation takes a couple of days. It's really mm-hmm. assuming that all the processes, design, site work, mm-hmm. Putting the permitting package together, receiving it, getting the hardware, actually installing and then approving. Anything above that is based on how long the city, mm-hmm. that local jurisdiction and that utility company may take.
Good. Well, now, how do you go about talking? I mean, this is an important part of your business, right?
Yeah. No, we.
So, how do you approach? What is your marketing?
Well, one of the big things that we communicate now is a deadline that we don't have any control over, which is 12/31. By the end of this year, the tax benefits that are offered to the solar industry start to step down.
Oh,
which means that if we cannot finalize a transaction, meaning that we can't install and turn it on by 12/31, the benefits decrease. Which means that collectively down the road, everyone, the benefits mm-hmm. for the nonprofit decrease as well. So we try to communicate that value proposition in a form that, it's the loss. It's kind of obviously there's a promise of gain, but really it's the fear of the loss that has nothing to do with, myself or our company. It's just that's where, the tax code is. So it's an embedded loss that we'll start seeing, at the end of this year.
What needs to happen to lock in the tax benefit?
Well, we want to make sure that we start. There are a couple ways we could certainly extend it, but we want to make sure that we start the process as quickly as possible for any projects that are in the pipeline. There are ways we could extend it as long as we've gone down that road, if you will.
Okay. All right, well, let's take a break right now and come back and talk about how we might be able to speak to groups that would find this valuable.
Sounds good.
Good.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest, hire.
I'm on the observation deck of the Empire State Building to demonstrate how much material waste management recycles. As North America's largest residential recycler, last year alone, waste management recycled 12.9 million tons. How much is that? Let's do the math. Carry the six. It's enough to fill this building more than 27 times. With experience like that, we're bound to have a program that can help your business recycle. Talk to Waste Management or visit thinkgreen.com.
Richard Franzi is a highly sought-after keynote speaker on topics of interest to CEOs of middle firms across North America. Richard's talks include Killing Cats Leads to Rats, a fascinating look at how unintended consequences of CEOs' decisions impact their firm's performance. Your Gray Matter Matters, which explores how a CEO's mindset can differentiate a middle market firm and define its culture. Richard delivers talks to a variety of audiences, ranging from executive team retreats to keynotes in front of hundreds of CEOs. To learn more about his talks, visit criticalmassforbusiness.com and select the contact page or call 949-887-4104.
Welcome back to the Pilgrim on the 405. We've been talking with Boris Piskin, and we've been exploring some very interesting ways of helping nonprofits not only participate in the greening of America by converting to solar for their utility, but also a way of helping them reduce their utility bills, which is always an advantage to a nonprofit. Because nonprofits pay bills,
that
certainly has an impact on them. And then secondly, they get a financial benefit from participating in this. So let's talk a little bit about how we could get this message out to more nonprofit organizations.
Absolutely. I think it comes back to how do we take it from a theoretical perspective to a real-life example. And oftentimes, that's where you go back to the kind of bottom-up approach. Mm-hmm. You take an example of a real-life project and use that as lack of a better term, a guinea pig, to be able to show where the benefits can be seen, and then use that as kind of the baseline for how that can be then transferred over to a much larger taking that multiplicative approach to some degree.
Mm-hmm. Well, so talk about, let's think about a church.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we going to put these? On the roof of the church building?
They can be put on the roof. They can, carports can be built. If there's excess land, a ground mount can be built. Anywhere that is sunny.
Mm-hmm.
But the main place that we look to build on, the main kind of square footage, is on the church.
Mm-hmm.
We try to stay away from the sanctuary portion of the building for financial reasons, really. Not to get in, because having a government program, you want to separate church and state to some degree, and that's that's something that we have to stay away from. However, it gives us a myriad of different options in terms of where it could be installed.
So if you had a church school, it could be on the roof of the church school.
Offices.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Schools, administrative side of the buildings.
Now, is the financial return substantial?
They typically are. We've seen a return as quickly as 2 years. You know, we try to see, and those are obviously significant.
Well, that's
markets.
In return on your investment.
Return of
reduction of the cost, right?
Correct.
And I was.
But in terms of the utility bill, if
right.
will, we should, seeing a 15, 20, 30% mm-hmm. decrease in utility costs immediately.
Well, now, the return of, the sharing in the financial.
Sure.
Profit, is that substantial too?
So the tax benefits are typically about 30% of the cost, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
We offer, in order for us to monetize it, we offer 15%.
Okay.
So it's a way to reduce the cost, which would show kind of immediate savings for the church on that side.
Okay. All right. Well, and if the church had borrowed the money to make the installation,
correct,
they would be paying less, substantially less, than they were paying for their utility bills.
Correct. And locking in a rate that would not increase over time.
Okay. And then also that found money that comes to them could be used for something else.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, all right. So how do we, would it be approaching local churches and speaking with them about it?
Just to add to that one point, one of our churches has decided to use that quote-unquote found money as a retirement for one of their priests within 10 years. So they know that there's going to be a pension, and that pays for that pension on its own.
Well, there are the Diocese of Los Angeles, Episcopal Diocese of Los Angeles right now, is looking at a number of different initiatives. One is, how do we find housing? It's called the Housing Justice Coalition. And there have been some very significant projects built. One is in Riverside that's in the process, $17 million project being built to house 50 to 70 homeless people. And they've worked together with Mercy House and put together the $17 million in grants, and then the city of Riverside recently voted unanimously to loan $2 million from their housing fund to help this move forward.
Interesting.
All right, so that's a project. Now, that's a place where we should have solar.
I couldn't agree with you more.
All right, so that would be a place we could do so. And there's other places, the Blessed Sacrament in Placentia is building retirement housing for people who otherwise would be leaving California.
Correct.
And there's a number of other places out there that are looking at how to use their land for housing, to solve the housing problem, participate in solving the housing project. And the Diocese of Los Angeles is looking at every piece of property that they have to see how they can use that for housing. Now, a second thing that they're doing is looking at how can we take congregations which are having difficulty maintaining themselves. They have big buildings,
yes,
and then those are expensive to maintain, and so there is a group of clergy and lay folks who have put together a program to help. I think they're taking on five churches initially to become more entrepreneurial, to do something that brings in money for the congregation.
Sure,
they're going to learn how to. And I don't know exactly what, but they're going to spend 18 months learning how to use their assets to bring in some money to help support the congregation.
Well, I think, you know, one of the on both those fronts, you know, the first one on the housing side, and it actually speaks to both sides. Utility rates and utility bills are one of the biggest line items for any, you know, whether it's residential, someone's home, or any sort of business or commercial property. This is where we've taken that one line item, utility, and that's where we target. So whether it's on the housing side for the homeless, the homeless, the housing for the homeless in Riverside or Sacramento and so forth, it's one of those. You know, we know that based on, you know, not anecdotal data, but actual, concrete, verifiable data that we can lower utility rates, you know, without question, without fail.
Right.
And not even including whatever utility increases will occur. And that's the other thing, is locking in a lower rate today for the foreseeable future. And that works both on the, whether it's on the first side of it, which is the housing portion of it, or helping struggling, financially struggling houses of worship get a handle on those expenses.
Yeah, reducing their costs.
Correct.
Giving them some financial support from the sale.
Correct.
Of the tax credits. And then also allowing them to participate in the greening of America.
Correct.
Yeah.
We can't help him on the revenue side, but we certainly can help him on lowering the expense.
Well,
meaning,
you help on the revenue side by the 15%.
Correct.
That's,
but on a long-term basis. Meaning,
but that's, I mean, there's three pieces there.
Absolutely.
And if I'm in a leadership position, I'm looking at those, and each piece is important. All right, so what about, I'm thinking now about, I think, Goodwill. And generally, a lot of social service agencies lease their buildings. So that's not something that would be applicable then.
It comes back to the owner of the building.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in situations where there's a long-term lease, and the beneficiary would be the leaseholder or the lessee, it certainly is an ability to help them in that benefit.
So have you talked to Goodwill?
We have not, no.
Because last week I interviewed the CEO of Goodwill.
Oh, interesting.
And, if you're talking about, I would imagine that many of their buildings they own. I just happen to know
sure.
that some of the buildings they are leasing space. But when you think about that, I mean, the advantages to something like Goodwill is large.
Yeah, what's interesting from our standpoint is there isn't a limitation on the availability of capital. Mm-hmm. There isn't a limitation on the availability of offsetting the tax benefits to, you know, there are enough high net worth and high income earning individuals in the state of California and nationally speaking that can benefit. It's the bandwidth to speak to as many institutions, the beneficiaries, as possible. So, and that's an indirect way of saying we'd love to speak to the Goodwill.
Mm-hmm.
It's being in business for quite a number of years, there are very few opportunities that are win-win scenario.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Coming from a Wall Street background, mm-hmm. I've certainly seen plenty of win-lose scenarios. This is what excites me every morning is the ability to make change happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see it on a daily basis.
So introducing you, putting you in the same room with some of the people from Goodwill to take a look at it.
Absolutely.
Looking at some of the local churches and the Diocese of Los Angeles. Now, are you national? You do things across the country?
We do. We do.
So is there a way that we could put together a presentation if we were to go to other Episcopal dioceses and talk to them?
No, we do. We actually, we have marketing material specifically targeting this demographic to be able to show kind of the benefits,
mm-hmm.
all the benefits that we've spoken about today.
Well, that would be interesting to see because I imagine that most dioceses in the Episcopal Church are looking at very similar issues right now.
Yeah, and unfortunately, in kind of the finance world, if you will, kind of the financial services, it's all about profitability. It's all about profit and loss, and being a nonprofit provides few opportunities to tap into what's otherwise, you know, considered kind of the capital markets, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
What makes our product unique is that takes the entire relevance of the profitability out off the table.
Mm-hmm.
The program is really equity based, and what we found more often than not is there's plenty of equity to be tapped, especially when it comes to a direct benefit impact, meaning mm-hmm. that the whatever payments are made to offset a much larger payment in the form of offsetting what otherwise would be a larger utility bill.
All right, so let's take a couple steps back here. This is a very sophisticated program. Right.
It takes a couple of different asset classes and
right and
correct.
What I'm asking is, where did you come up with this idea?
Well, the way I like to communicate is I like to talk about the taste of the hot dog,
mm-hmm.
and not how the hot dog's made, to some degree. Because yes, there is a certain level of sophistication.
Now, I'm not interested in hearing all the intricacies of the program.
Sure.
I'm curious about how you came up with the idea.
Well, I've always been in the financial engineering space, financial services. I'm originally from New York, ran a private equity firm for a number of years.
And that's what we got to worry about, right?
Before I was reborn.
I see.
Before I was reborn, and certainly feel, feel vindicated in my new life.
Good.
But it's certainly, I've always seen unique products out there, and finding opportunities to benefit from those products. And taking solar, taking the benefits, the tax benefits of that comes with solar, finding who the optimal beneficiaries of those tax benefits may be. And we see a large number of large organizations and corporations converting to solar, whether it's Google or Walmart or some of the bigger name, Target and so forth, and large institutions. But that in Wall Street will surely be able to is available for the conversion of those.
Of course.
Makes the numbers work, if you will. But it leaves behind the quote unquote little guy, if you will, or leaves behind those who don't have the same access to benefits. And the programs we use, they don't discriminate. So, and they don't financially discriminate either. It's just that more often than not, the road more traveled is the one that has been paved by financial institutions. And historically, I've always taken the road less traveled in terms of my professional career. So finding this niche certainly is, filling a void that we all know exists, and kind of providing it. The one thing we try to overcome is those who have a problem but don't know that they have a problem, and proposing a solution for those without them recognizing that they have a problem sometimes is a impediment. But again, if we keep on pounding the pavement, we think that it'll certainly it'll certainly take on.
Good. Good. Well, what would you like to say to people who are listening?
Convert to solar. Bigger picture, we think that from a financial standpoint, utility rates are going nowhere but up. Any of the big four within the state of California, PG&E, SDG&E, SCE, LADWP. There has never been a better time to convert to solar than it is now. And being able to do so can yield immediate savings, and which will then subsequently, provide long-term savings, not only today, but obviously down the road as well.
So if a church leader were listening to this, would you want them to call you?
Absolutely.
How would they get in touch with you?
I'm going to give my direct number.
Okay.
and I'm always, to the unfortunate, my wife is not going to feel be happy with me, but I'm always available on my phone, 949-436-4478.
What was that?
My direct line is 949-436-4478.
All right. Well, I think that we want to encourage people to pick up the phone and call and explore this possibility. We have till 12:31. Or maybe longer, but it's now is the time to begin talking about that possibility.
Absolutely.
Because what a nonprofit has to gain is, number one, reduction in their ongoing utility expenses, and it's locked in.
Correct.
So that their cost is not going to go up. And at some point, when the loan is paid off, and the price of that loan will be substantially less than what they're paying monthly now for utilities.
Correct.
So it's not like incurring an additional cost. We're really reducing the cost. And at some point, when that loan is paid off, their utility bill goes to zero.
Goes to zero, correct.
And that gets locked in pretty quickly then, right?
Very quickly.
All right, so number one is a reduction in what, for many nonprofits, is a substantial utility bill. And number two is that there is money that comes back in terms of their share, their 15% of the tax credit value.
Correct.
And then thirdly, this is a way to participate in the greening of America.
That's exactly it.
And so why wouldn't you call and talk?
Or you can call and just say hello.
All right. Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Boris, for being with us today.
Thank you.
Painting a picture, not only of the future, but also of the yellow brick road about how we might get there.
We see the road that we've paved, and hopefully people take that road for it.
Well, let's not hopefully. Let's just start counting the number of people who are calling.
That's
you.
Correctly.
Excellent.
Oh, look at that. The phones are ready.
That's right. Well, it's been wonderful having you with us. This is another example of how we can help not only profit businesses, but nonprofit businesses thrive in California.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist.